This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. We'll move on now to talk about climate change, fossil fuel pollution, and children's health. That is the title of a recent review paper published in the New England Journal of Medicine. A pair of researchers on opposite coasts got together to investigate how many of the world's children are exposed to effects of climate change and air pollution at levels high enough to impact their health. The quick answer is a lot of the world's children. We have the researchers here to get more detailed answers. Frederica Pereira is the Director of Translational Research and the founding director of the Columbia University Center for Children's Environmental Health. Dr. Pereira, welcome.
Thank you.
And Kari Nadeau is the director of the Center for Allergy and Asthma Research at Stanford University. How do you pronounce your last name?
Nadeau is correct. Thank you.
Okay, hit it the first time. I always like that one. Kari, talk about climate change affecting, we just talked about climate change affecting young people in Oregon. You took a worldwide view. How common is it and will it be for children to be affected by climate change?
Well, I think both Dr. Pereira and I can answer that question. This is really important, and I'm so glad that Oregon is facing forward and looking at these. It was very interesting to listen to the program right before in terms of being able to adapt to and mitigate to wildfire control. And as you know, in Oregon, you've seen some horrible forest fires, and that's what we wanted to focus on, are those events that really affect children and families and vulnerable populations. And not only Oregon, but many places around the world have been affected by climate change. And we wanted to make sure that this article, which is the first article in a series of the New England Journal of Medicine, to be able to face forward, not only talk about the problem and how it relates, which is very dangerous, we are on red alert, for how climate change affects health, especially in children and pregnant women. But we also wanted to offer solutions. And so we wanted to make sure that the article gave practical advice to healthcare workers, to families, to be able to really understand what it would take to, in this changing environment, help make their lives better and help prepare for the future.
To the point of pollution, which is, you know, as somebody involved in asthma and allergy research, I want to ask about that specific part of it. I mean, you found that a very high number of kids are at risk of exposure.
Yes. Dr. Pereira, do you want to comment on that?
Sure, because my colleagues and I at the Columbia Center for Children's Environmental Health have been studying effects of air pollution for many, many years in the U.S. and in Europe and even studies in China, and we do see many different health effects from air pollution, starting, you know, from exposure of the mother during pregnancy, affecting the birth outcomes, preterm birth, for example, causing asthma, as well as triggering asthma attacks in children with the disease. But what is sort of new, we and others are now finding effects on early brain development of air pollution exposure with symptoms of anxiety and depression and other and behavioral problems, ADHD, and even autism traits. So the list of health impacts from air pollution is long and growing, but I... Oh, no, there's... Sorry, I hope this isn't bothering you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. Oh, okay. Was there a barking dog? It was very much in the background.
Oh, good. But I think there's a point we made very clearly in the article that combustion of fossil fuel, we're talking coal, oil, gas, is the main driver of both climate change and toxic air pollution. And so we need to think of them together in assessing their health effects and, very importantly, the benefits of getting off fossil fuel and taking action, because the situation is urgent. And the point is, as Kari has said, solutions are available now.
So I mean, the solution then is essentially the same for both of those, then air pollution and climate change, is to stop burning fossil fuels, you're saying?
Exactly so. Mm-hmm. To stop burning fossil fuels, to conserve energy, and then also to boost natural carbon sinks, sequestration with forests and protection of and soils and the ocean, and shifting agricultural practices from the high-emitting techniques that are used now generally to low-emissions methods, and that includes conservation and regenerative agriculture. And when we apply all of these strategies, we have enormous cost savings, according to many, many studies. I can give you examples later.
Okay. Dr. Nadeau, at this point in history, we should have been seeing pollution coming down, at least in some countries, shouldn't we? I mean, we've been talking about it for 50 years plus.
That's a great question. Absolutely. With the U.S. and the Clean Air Act and some of the standards that we were able to regulate through EPA in the 1970s, we did see a substantial decrease in air pollution. And Dr. Pereira has published on that, has shown benefits economically. But, for example, in the western part of our country now and across the world, there's been so many wildfires and issues around drought and dust conditions that the PM2.5 has actually increased on the whole. And that is a sad thing to have to admit and have to study. And that compels me even more to know that we really need to put the brakes on climate change. Because if we don't, climate change is a threat multiplier that will not go away. We are on red alert. We have just a few years left where we can try to sustain the current temperatures or at least try to minimize their rising. If we don't make drastic changes now, like Dr. Carrera mentioned, in terms of our transportation and agriculture and changing to renewable energy sources, or even change our individual habits, the climate change scenarios are something that will definitely cause a lot of health issues alone in our society. So I think air pollution, like you said, has been around for a while, but right now, because of climate change and because it's a threat multiplier, it will only get worse if we don't get ahead of it.
Kari Nadeau is at Stanford University, Frederica Pereira at Columbia University, co-authors of a paper from the New England Journal of Medicine called Climate Change, Fossil Fuel Pollution, and Children's Health. I wonder what either of you makes of the news out just a few hours ago about the Supreme Court ruling that the Environmental Protection Agency does not have the authority to set climate standards for power plants. Congress would have to make that choice.
Well, I think I read that with such a sinking heart. That was such an important initiative. It was proposed in 2015 under President Obama's administration, and that was to be the main tool to reduce emissions from combustion emissions from fossil fuel, regulating power plants. And that stripping that ability of EPA away to regulate these emissions is a devastatingly bad choice and decision. So I'm sorry to say it is a sad moment. I would also add that in addition to forest fires, what we're seeing is increases in air pollution emissions in many parts of the world, including the U.S. We're actually going in the wrong direction right now in consumption of fossil fuel and burning, and those are the major sources of air pollution. So while we've controlled large particles pretty well, like soot, big black soot particles, the finer particles, the deeply respirable particles, are still out there and still a health problem. And I think one point that we make in the article that's not thought about a lot is cumulative effects of climate change and also air pollution on children in physical health, in mental health. So they're piling on. Children are simultaneously being exposed to high levels of air pollution. I think it's so three out of, what is it, at least, I can't remember the statistic, but a large proportion of Americans are exposed to high air pollution. And all children are liable to experience one or more climate shock, like the ones we've talked about. And they pile on. They co-occur. So we have to be very concerned and mindful of their cumulative effects.
Well, and there's also a reference to genetic changes in children. We're talking epigenetic sorts of effects where genes are switched on, off, or at least affected somehow by what they're exposed to?
Yes. I'm happy to talk about that.
Go ahead.
We've been doing a lot of studies on that, as well as Dr. Pereira's group, because I think that a lot of people think that if they don't see it, if they can't smell it, it's not going to harm them. And unfortunately, with air pollution, with extreme events like flooding, with diseases that can be caused by infections spread by mosquitoes or other what we call vectors, as well as we put in the article, some of the displacement and evacuation, mental stress that happens with children and pregnant women, all of these things, even if they don't know it, it can affect their genes. And by that, I mean it changes the chemistry of the genes, and that can be inherited to the next generation. So we have to be very careful and very humble in the fact that what we do now, and if we don't make changes now, that will affect future generations. People have studied that, and they have shown that pollution can do that, stress can do that. And so I think, getting back to your question about the recent unfortunate decision by the Supreme Court, it is truly short-sighted. We have other options. The EPA does a great job at regulation overall. And the regulation that the EPA has put into place has not put a dent in our economy. Our economy has been able to grow within the regulations of the EPA and within being able to improve our health. And so to me, the short-sightedness will have a long-term consequence of cost, and of cost to people's lives, and also jobs. In the end, we're not doing a benefit to the healthcare workforce or any workforce if we continue to burn these types of fuels. And especially we want to focus on children in the future. Mm-hmm. I'm very sad that the Supreme Court made its decision today. I wish that they had thought about children in the future more.
All right. The paper is called Climate Change, Fossil Fuel Pollution, and Children's Health. Frederica Pereira at Columbia University, Kari Nadeau at Stanford University. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange. This is JPR.